A very, very big welcome to the Anxiety Summit, Nutritional Approaches for Eliminating Anxiety, Social Anxiety, Panic Attacks, and OCD. It's June 2014, and I am so excited it's finally here. I'm thrilled to share all these amazing speakers with you, fellow nutritionists, integrative psychiatrists, a pharmacist, a number of therapists and researchers, a naturopath and a chiropractor, as well as a few clients. Get ready to hear the word excited and thrilled a lot. All the interviews have actually been pre-recorded, and when I went back to listen to the audio and read the transcripts, these two words are featured a lot. So you'll hear that I'm really excited about this topic, and I'm really, really thrilled to share all these amazing speakers with you. As you've gathered, I'm your host, Trudy Scott. I'm known as a food mood expert. I'm a certified nutritionist, and I'm the author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, How the Food You Eat Can Help You Calm Your Anxious Mind, Improve Your Mood, and End Cravings. And this talk is Why Are We Doing the Anxiety Summit? And Stats, Trends, and Gems. And I'll share a little bit more about me and why I created this summit in a little bit. But first, let's just talk about anxiety and how this summit can help you. So the first question is this. Will this information help you if you have severe panic attacks and are using medications for anxiety? And will this information help you if you're simply feeling stressed and overwhelmed and burned out and the smallest thing is just feels like it's too much for you? Yes and yes. So yes to both of those. What you're going to learn about can eliminate full-blown anxiety, panic attacks, social anxiety where you cannot go to social settings, phobias like agoraphobia where you cannot get out the house, OCD, full-blown OCD symptoms. It's also going to help you eliminate this low-grade fear that you may have, feelings of dread. A lot of my clients will say to me, they've just got this feeling of dread. They can't really explain it. I can actually relate because that's what I had. I just had this dread, like something was wrong. There was no reason for feeling like this, but I had this feeling of dread. You may have a racing heart. You may have this busy mind that you can't switch off, especially when you're lying in bed at night. And these ruminating thoughts where you play things back over in your mind that someone has said or something that you've done, and you just can't switch it off. You may also have constant worry. You may be a perfectionist. You may be a big-time procrastinator. You may be this kind of person who says, who am I to be doing this? Which is this feeling of being an imposter that so many women live with and deal with and push through. So if this is what you're looking for, you're in the right place. Do not miss a single call. They are all jam-packed with facts and gems and resources and practical steps so you can completely eliminate your anxiety. And I really want to reiterate this because I think it's really an important point to make. You can completely eliminate these symptoms. You don't have to live with it. And the other thing that you don't have to do is manage it. A lot of people think they just need to manage their anxiety and just keep it under control, but it's going to be there with you forever. And I really want you to realize that that is not the case. I'm going to give you two examples. Ellie Brown is an entrepreneurial guru for women, and she's one of my amazing business mentors. I've learned so much from her, and she's so successful. And she's actually doing a program at the moment where she's helping women overcome some of their issues. And she says in the program information, let's not forget women's darkest best friends, anxiety and worry. Beautifully put, I must say. Women's darkest best friends, anxiety and worry. And she actually says, I still have to fight it. I come from a long line of worriers. And I say, no, you don't have to fight it. Just because you come from a long line of worriers doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put up with it. There is something you can do about it. And you're going to hear on the summit from an amazing woman called the Methyl Queen of the Methyl Queen, and that is Colleen Walsh. And she talks about our genes not being our destiny. We can turn things off. We can turn things around. We can change things. Another person who you may have heard about is Seth Godin. He's a well-known author, very important thought leader. And he says, when fear shows up, understand that it never goes away. Dance with it instead. And while I really enjoy the dance suggestion, because I think it's fun and it sounds like it's going to help a little bit, I really disagree with the fact that he says it never goes away. It just breaks my heart to think that someone would think that this fear is never going to go away and you have to dance with it and make the best of it. And I had an amazing interview with Julia Ross on the summit, and our interview covered the amino acids and the adrenals for anxiety. And this is what she said. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is not an unrealistic goal when it comes to anxiety. It's really the human potential, and GABA and tryptophan give us access to it. So I'm going to repeat this because I think it's really worth repeating. 0 is not an unrealistic goal when it comes to anxiety. Yes, bravo, Julia. And I totally agree with this. So I really want you to know this, remember this, and don't stop looking for the answer and the root cause. There may be many root causes because you're going to hear many different components that can actually be a factor in your anxiety. It may be food changes that you need to do. It may be breakfast that you need to eat. It may be low serotonin or low GABA. It may be foods that are problems for you, like gluten or dairy. It may be additives in the foods that you're eating. It may be toxins in your environment. There are many different root causes, and you may have many root causes. It may not just be one thing. But this summit is to give you answers, so at the end of it, you'll be empowered to take the next step so you can completely eliminate your anxiety. So just to recap, the summit is for you if you're anxious or if you're stressed or if you're having panic attacks or obsessive thoughts, or just that low-grade worry and tendency for ruminating thoughts. It's going to empower you with information, and I want it to give you hope. That's my big thing. I want it to give you hope, and I want you to know that there's an answer for you out there. So you can have zero symptoms, and you can feel on top of the world all the time because you deserve it. You really do. It's also for you. If you are a nutritionist who works with those with anxiety, I know there's a lot of nutritionists who have signed up for the summit, and welcome. If you are a therapist or social worker or other mental health professional or a doctor or a pharmacist, if you are someone who works with those with anxiety, you're going to get the resources so you can serve and help your anxious clients and patients in the best and most comprehensive way. And I'd like to just share a few reasons why I am doing this summit. So the number one is for people who have lost hope, for people who now have hope, and for people who get remarkable results, because we truly get remarkable results when we start implementing some of these changes you're going to hear about. Let me give you an example of someone who lost hope and wasn't getting support from her doctor. I got this message on Facebook from someone saying, I went to my doctor this week and told her about your book and that I did the gluten challenge and that it was night and day for me. When I ate gluten, it was a problem. When I wasn't eating gluten, I felt great. And the doctor said, she said it was the first time in her practice that she'd heard of a link between gluten and anxiety. And she didn't recommend that I have a gluten test done or even stay gluten-free. She asked why I did not want to be prescribed a FARM for my generalized anxiety disorder. And I told her I don't want to treat my diagnosis. I want to treat what's causing my diagnosis. I felt deflated after seeing her. I felt like I didn't have hope. But I quickly got over it when I read through some comments from others on your Facebook page. So she did the gluten elimination. She challenged. And when she challenged, she felt more irritable, she was nervous, she had heart palpitations, she felt a heaviness, had lower GI pain and diarrhea. So what I did is I shared some research from a 2012 study that said gluten sensitivity remains undertreated and underrecognized as a contributing factor to psychiatric and neurological manifestations. And she shared this with her doctor, and she's now planted the seed for the next time that someone asks this doctor about gluten and mood. So it's all good. And then the other type of person that I want to do the summit for is for those who now have hope. I received an email from someone saying, I've read your book and I see myself in all the pages. It's amazing to know I might just not be going crazy. I feel like I am understood. It just really warms my heart to get messages like this. So if that's you, this is a summit for you. And then the other reason is because of the remarkable results that I see with my clients. I'm just going to share a few with you now, and you're actually going to be hearing more success stories throughout the summit. And I've got three amazing clients who've agreed to come on and actually be interviewed, and you're going to hear it in their own words. Because I think it's really important for you to hear from people who are getting results. But this is a testimonial from one of my clients. I can't remember the last time I slept through the night and didn't wake feeling like I was having a panic attack. And with a few changes in her diet, she actually got off gluten and a few nutrients. She got on tryptophan. She slept through the night, and she even slept over 9 hours one night. And what she said is for years, she could not get 4 hours of sleep a night. That was the most that she could get. And she would get up and pace in the night to calm herself down. And another client said this, tryptophan totally tipped the scales for me. And you're going to hear a lot about tryptophan in the interview that I did with Julia Ross. And it's also mentioned in the interview that I did with Dr. Josh Friedman. We actually talked more about 5-HTP, but tryptophan does come up. But what this client said is that tryptophan totally tipped the scales for me. I shared my website on Facebook. I got my first client. I felt more easygoing and confident. And a week before she started on the tryptophan, she was telling me how she was a perfectionist and was afraid to put herself out there. She didn't want to get her business out there so people could see she existed. But once she got the brain chemistry imbalance addressed by raising serotonin with the tryptophan, she felt like a new person, confident and calm and not this perfectionist. Number two, for the reason for doing the Anxiety Summit, and this is because of scary stats and trends that we are starting to see. So let's go through the anxiety stats first, and then I'm going to share some trends with you. 50% of Americans will have a mental illness during their lifetime. And there are stats on the Anxiety and Depression Association of America website, and these stats have actually been around for a long time. And I've been seeing articles in some of the big newspapers saying that these numbers are really rather low compared to some of the trends that I'm going to be sharing with you in a little bit. But just so you know, this is the current stats. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S. We know that's a fact. But 40 million adults in the U.S. age 18 and older, or 18% of the U.S. population, supposedly has some kind of anxiety disorder. And this is a number that we suspect is a lot higher. We'll often see people with anxiety also having depression, addictive components, and we're going to hear from Dr. Hyla Kass on how to break free of the addiction and the connection between addiction and anxiety, sleep problems, and we're going to hear from Robin Nielsen on the importance of sleep and all the factors that can play a role in not being able to get enough sleep. And then we'll often see eating disorders, cravings, digestive problems like IBS, and celiac disease. We know that adult rates of depression and anxiety have tripled since 1990, and this is stats from a JAMA paper of 2002, so it's probably higher than that as well. A 2008 paper says that adult rates of generalized anxiety disorder have tripled, and panic disorder has doubled. And the World Health Organization did a survey on depression and found that it was the fourth leading cause of disability worldwide. And by 2020, it will be the second. And we know that affluent countries or Western countries have much higher rates of both anxiety and depression. We also know that women are twice as likely to be affected as men by generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, and phobias. And this is also on the ADAA.org website, Anxiety and Depression Association website. And the stats when it comes to children is very disturbing. 1 in 10 children and adolescents suffer from a mental illness. And this is pretty old data. And I'm going to share with you some trends that we are seeing that this is on the rise. We know from 2012 stats that anxiety disorders affect 1 in 8 children. And the World Health Organization predicts a 50% increase in mental illnesses in kids by 2020. This is terribly, terribly disturbing when you consider the amazing research on just making food changes. You're going to hear from Dr. Felice Jacka, an Australian researcher, talking about food changes in kids and how mental health symptoms change when their diet changes. Just making those changes can completely turn around these predictions. With kids, you'll also see ADD, ADHD, learning problems, addictions, and then and autism also will happen when we have anxiety. So let's talk about some of these trends. For one of them is that teens are sad and stressed. And there was an article in February 2014 in the Washington Post talking about 2 suicides at the Langley High School, which is in the D.C. area. And what happened is the Fairfax County did a survey, and they looked at 46,000 students in grades 6 and 8 and 10 and 12. And this is what they found. Over 1/3 of seniors felt sad or hopeless during the previous year, and they felt a lot of stress. Less than 1/3 were eating 5 fruits or vegetables. And I don't really like that number, 5 fruits or vegetables. I like to see 4 vegetables and 2 fruits. You know, we need to discern between what are we eating here, fruits and vegetables. So I like to see it split out. But either way, less than 1/3 were getting enough fruits and vegetables. And then only 1/2 of the 8th graders were getting 8 hours sleep a night. And only 15% of the 12th graders were getting 8 hours of sleep a night. So what they did is they started this stress-less week in the school, which I think is wonderful. Kids were allowed to wear PJs to school for a week, which sounds like a lot of fun. They had music playing in the school. They had fruit snacks during the breaks. They were given less homework, and they were able to play with clay. But I really think we can do so much more. We know that diet and nutrients can have such a huge impact. The other thing with kids is we need kids to be kids. Kids are put under so much pressure. I'm working with a young girl at the moment who's in high school, and she's just gone on to summer break, and she is just so relieved. She was so stressed and so anxious leading up to the end of the term. And these kids are just put under so much pressure. It's just heartbreaking. So we really need to be looking at all of this anxiety and doing something about it. And then another article that was actually earlier this year as well was in the Scientific American, and it was titled this, Anti-Anxiety Drugs Successfully Treat Autism. And what they said is there are encouraging results from a new animal study that suggest low doses of anti-anxiety medications already available on the market, such as benzodiazepines, might become the latest drugs that parents ask doctors to prescribe, even if the drugs are not an approved treatment for autism. And to me, this is just shocking to even consider something like this. There's so much evidence showing how this class of drug causes dementia to start with. It has not been tested on humans, and the same article says that some clinicians are ready to give the medication a go. And just really sounds horrible to me, really, really horrible. And you'll hear from Dr. Catherine Pittman why we should never even consider the use of benzodiazepines for these kids, a really, really horrible class of drugs. So be sure to listen to that interview. And there's so much more we can do. All of these things that we're going to share on the summit could be used with these kids. And I do want to just add that Julie Matthews is one of the experts that I interviewed, and she is an expert in nutrition for autism. So just working with someone who focuses on this particular condition can make such a world of difference. And you'll hear in the interview that I do with Julie, there's a lot of overlaps between autism and mental health. We find gut issues, we find gluten issues, we find digestive problems, we find neurotransmitter imbalances, we find toxins, we find heavy metals. So some people will end up with anxiety or depression, and someone may actually end up with autism spectrum disorder. And you'll hear from Colleen Walsh in the MTHFR interview how such a high percentage of kids with autism spectrum disorders actually have the MTHFR mutation. And, of course, we see that with mood problems as well. So there's a lot of overlaps here. Another trend is this dragging kids. There was another article in the Scientific American saying, should children take antipsychotic drugs? Now, these are not anti-anxiety drugs, but I just wanted to share this with you because of the conclusion as to why they should be giving these kids drugs. But what this article says is that between 2002 and 2009, pediatric prescriptions for atypical antipsychotics increased by 65%. That was from 2.9 million prescriptions to about 4.8 million prescriptions. And what they said is that 90% of those prescriptions were off-label, and this was published in a study in JAMA Psychiatry, and ADHD and disruptive behavior accounted for about 38% of all these drugs that were used in the kids, younger kids and teens. But they said that the reason why these drugs are being prescribed is because of, and this is in quotation marks, a lack of alternative resources. We have alternative resources, beautiful alternative resources, and you're going to hear about them in the summit. And interestingly enough, the same month that this study was published about the antipsychotic medications, was this other study that was published talking about exposure to neighborhood green space and mental health. Evidence from the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. And what they found is that higher levels of neighborhood green space were associated with significantly lower levels of depression, anxiety, and stress. Isn't that beautiful? And what they say is that greening could be a potential population mental health improvement strategy in the U.S. I love it. Getting out in nature is such a calming, beautiful thing. So there are alternative resources. And I've seen many, many studies looking at ADHD and kids with mood problems saying get them out in nature. That greenery makes such a big difference. A few other trends, headlines that I've seen, the San Jose Mercury News had this title, Teen Health, Depression, Anxiety, and Social Phobias Rising in Kids, Educators Say. And in this particular article, they said that the stats that we are seeing, that we're reporting on the ADAA is out of date because the numbers are much higher than what is being reported. And then another article, and I've seen a number of articles along these lines, anxiety rampant among college students. They're actually having to increase the counselors at colleges to handle all the mood problems that college students are having. So it's a very, very sad state of affairs. Then the third reason that I am doing the Anxiety Summit is simply because this powerful food-mood connection is just not common knowledge. And there's a lot of research, but it's just taking too long for all the research to be implemented and to become common knowledge and to be accepted. And I hear this kind of thing all the time. Why didn't someone tell me that gluten could be causing my anxiety? And someone else will say to me, I've never heard of Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Why didn't my doctor tell me about it? because keep in mind that the most common cause of thyroid issue with women in the U.S. is Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And none of my clients are ever tested to see if they have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And the way you test it is to look for the two thyroid antibodies, antithyroglobulin and antithyroperoxidase. And we go right into this in the great interview that I did with Isabella Wentz talking about Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So don't miss that one. And then someone else would say, I wish I'd known about this before I tried drugs. I just didn't know that there was this option. And you'll hear that from Nicole Birkins, and she talks about people coming into her clinic and they just don't even know about this connection between food and mood. They're not even realizing that the foods that they are eating and the foods they're feeding their kids are such a big factor in their mood problems and in their learning problems and their behavior problems. We just don't have this awareness. And I had the discussion when I was interviewing Nicole talking about the fact that we need to start having cooking classes in school. We need to learn this basic stuff that we've forgotten how to learn. And she talked about having a summer program where she was going to teach the kids how to garden and have a garden at the school, at the clinic. So it's really important that we go back to basics and learn all these things that we've forgotten about. And then another thing that someone will say to me, I'm not myself and I don't want to take medications, but I just don't know what else to do. I just feel hopeless. So these are the types of things I hear all the time. And unfortunately, mental health professionals are not taught about food. They're not taught about that, the fact that food can have an impact on anxiety and depression. And Dr. Josh Friedman talked about this a lot in his interview. He talked about the frustration that he had when he was working at this eating disorder clinic because they didn't take into their account that someone may have a problem with gluten, and that may be why they were avoiding gluten, and it may not just have been a psychological issue that they were dealing with. Doctors are not taught this. We heard from Dr. Kelly Brogan and Dr. Hala Kass. They are both integrative psychiatrists, and they both talk about this in the interviews that I did with them, so be sure to listen to those. So mental health professionals are not taught this, doctors are not taught this, but guess what? When you've got anxiety, who do you go and see, a therapist or a doctor? You don't think about going to see a nutritionist or a holistic or integrative health professional. So what my mission is to help get this message out. So you can ask the questions and say, I need to get this information. There is this information out there. There's this research out there. I want to use it so I can feel my best. And if you are a therapist and this is not something that you are aware of, you are going to learn a ton. If you are a doctor who is not an integrative health professional, you are going to learn a ton. And I just thank you for being here and being open to this, because when you first start hearing about this, it just feels like there is so much to learn, but it is so amazing and so powerful. So the next reason about why I'm doing the Anxiety Summit, and that is because this nutritional approach saved me. And I'm going to share with you my story. Just bear with me. I decided I wanted to share everything about it, or pretty much everything, for a number of reasons. One, because I think it's important that you hear stories and you hear success stories and you hear many different elements of what goes into someone having anxiety and how they overcome it. And the other reason I want to share it is because there is this stigma about mental health, and I think we need to be talking about it. So I'm going to share with you so you can hear what went on with me, how I overcame my anxiety, and you'll understand why I'm so passionate about doing this, because there are answers. And I was able to overcome my anxiety completely, and it was because of food and nutrients and some of these other things that we're going to hear about. So 16 years ago, I was in my late 30s. I had terrible, terrible anxiety out of the blue. It was constant. It was worse in the early hours of the morning. I just had this feeling of dread, like something was going to happen, and there was no reason for it. And I work with a lot of women who will say the same to me. I was actually talking to someone earlier this week, and she said to me, I've just got this feeling of dread. can't explain it. And I say, I know exactly what you're feeling. I had it myself. It's just this, you can't put your finger on it, but you just sort of feel like something is going to happen. It's impending doom. That's a good expression. I actually had a few panic attacks, terrifying. I remember the shortness of breath, the clammy skin, not getting enough oxygen, saying, I've got to get outside, I've got to get outside, I can't breathe. And it was terrifying. I really thought I was going to die. The first panic attack, I had no idea what was happening, and it came out of the blue. We'd gone for a bike ride. We came back home. I was talking to my husband about stressful situation at work, and I got very upset, and I had a panic attack. So at the time all this happened, I was actually working in corporate America. I was working really long hours, and I was really stressed out. Some other things that happened to me was this throat closing sensation. And I remember having this feeling of a lump in my throat, and like a golf ball. I felt like I had a golf ball stuck in my throat. And I couldn't swallow because I thought if I swallow, I'm going to swallow this golf ball and it's going to choke me. And I remember going to the mirror and looking to see if I could see this big lump in my throat because I couldn't breathe and I couldn't swallow and I didn't know what was going to happen. And there was nothing there. And this happened a few times. And that was really, really scary. And all of this is crazy because I'm a world traveler, I'm a backpacker, I'm a rock climber. I actually met my husband on a cliff face in Montesiel, just outside Durban in South Africa. He proposed to me at the top of Rhino Peak in the beautiful Drakensberg Mountains after a grueling all-day rock climb. We'd actually hiked in the day before. We'd spent the night in this cave, got up in the dark, and we climbed all day. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience and a great way to get proposed to. We actually got to the summit, and the wind was howling. We called to the summit cairn, and then Brad whipped out this little bottle of champagne and opened it. And, of course, because of the wind, we got sprayed with champagne, but he proposed to me, and, of course, I said yes. We honeymooned in Kenya. We climbed Mount Kenya and then Kilimanjaro, and I spent the night on a porter ledge in Zion National Park. I've done ice climbing. So you get the picture. I'm not a timid, anxious kind of person. So where did this anxiety come from? Did I need anti-anxiety medications? Did I need therapy? No, absolutely no. What I needed was to address this out-of-whack biochemistry. So my biochemistry was, there was a problem. I needed to address it. And it really was the perfect storm, and I'm going to share with you why. I was in my late 30s, so I had hormonal changes going on. I had low progesterone, and this equates to low GABA, and GABA is a calming neurotransmitter. And you'll hear Dr. Anna Kabeka talk about this topic. I was working in a computer job, really long hours, totally burned out adrenals, very stressed, very demanding computer job. And you'll hear Dr. Amy Day and Dr. Corey Schuler talk all about the adrenals and how important those are for being able to handle stress. My diet was less than ideal. We had started eating a vegetarian diet, and it really did not suit me. And unfortunately, having moved to the U.S. a few years earlier, we were amazed at what you could buy as a vegetarian. And you know what it was? A lot of soy, processed soy, soy butter, soy cheese, soy yogurt, textured vegetable protein. It probably was not organic, which has its own whole set of problems, GMO, full of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And, of course, soy can affect your thyroid, and it can damage your gut, and it's a very common allergen. So that, I think, was a very big problem. And then all this low-fat food that was around at the time, we were doing that as well. And you're going to hear Dr. Felice Jacka and Esther Blum and Julia Ross talk about the importance of quality animal protein, like grass-fed red meat, which is just beautiful. So the other factor in this perfect storm of mine, genetics. I've got pyroluria. This is a genetic condition that causes this anxiety and this inner tension where you just feel tense about things the whole time. And you've got this issue with social settings. You don't like to socialize. You prefer one-on-one interaction rather than group settings. It's made worse by stress. So I had all the stress going on at the office. And it was actually something that I only discovered that I had much later on. At the time that this was going on, I read Anne-Louise Gittleman's fabulous book called Taking Charge of Your Perimenopause, and she talked about zinc, vitamin B6, and evening primrose oil to help with perimenopausal symptoms. So I got on those nutrients. Lo and behold, my PMS symptoms improved, and a lot of my social anxiety improved. I actually had PMS probably for 3 weeks out of the month at one stage. It was so, so bad. I was functional for a week. It was really, really bad. I'm going to be talking, you'll hear about my talk on pyroluria later on in the summit, where I'm going to go completely into all the symptoms of pyroluria and how you deal with it and how you test for it and everything else. Another genetic issue that I have is this MTHFR mutation. I recently discovered that I've got two SNPs of the 1298 MTHFR mutation and one of the 677. And this predisposes me to mood problems. But as you'll hear in Colleen's talk, our genes are not our destiny. So we can change our destiny by making some of these food and nutrient changes. Another factor, I'm severely gluten intolerant. I've had no tests that shows I'm positive for celiac disease, but gluten really does affect me. In fact, this call really nearly didn't happen because I somehow got exposed to gluten, and for the whole day that I was supposed to be doing this call, I was out of it. I couldn't think. I couldn't focus. I had a headache. I felt like I'd been run over by a bus. So if I get exposed to gluten, I really notice it. Luckily, I was able to get out of it and do this interview, but it really does affect me badly if I am exposed to gluten. I've also been exposed to environmental toxins. In one of my earlier computer jobs, I actually worked in a oil refinery in Durban, South Africa, and I was exposed to lead from the petroleum. And then I have a mouthful of amalgam fillings, so I got exposed to mercury. So as you can see, a perfect storm which caused my terrible, terrible anxiety, my panic attacks, and actual social anxiety as well because of the pyroluria. So it took me many, many years to figure all of this out. I read every single book I could get my hands on. When I had the really bad PMS, I would read books in that week where things were really good. I worked with a wonderful nurse practitioner who told me about progesterone and progesterone cream, and then a wonderful, wonderful naturopath, Ruth Adele, and she helped me heal my adrenals. We sorted out my diet, and she supported me through the process of getting all my amalgam fillings removed. And it was a big, brutal process. It was also very expensive. I remember my husband, Brad, joking about the fact that he should have checked my mouth before he married me, like you check a horse before you buy it. Oh, dear. Anyway, all the mercury fillings are gone, so that was a good thing. I went back to school to study nutrition because I wanted to find out if this new method of eating was the right thing for me. And I learned so much that I decided this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to do this and make this my life's work. And I've actually come full circle because my undergraduate degree, before I got into computers, was actually in psychology and geography. And I always loved the psychology part, and I love the geography because I'm a big world traveler. So I've now come back around to the mental health area. As well as going back to school, of course, I go to many, many nutrition and integrative medicine conferences every year. And you're going to hear a lot of those getting mentioned in the interviews because a lot of the people that I interview are amazing practitioners that I've met at various conferences over the years. And I'm going to provide a list of all of those conferences and organizations and resources. In the very last interview, you'll get all of that information, so you've got it all at your fingertips. I then worked in Julia Ross's clinic for 2 years, and you'll hear a little bit more about that when I interview her. And this is where I actually discovered I have had pyroluria. Up till then, I didn't know. I just knew that I needed those nutrients, but I did the test, and I discovered I had it. And, you know, I don't have all the answers. I'm still putting some of the pieces together, and I don't think I'll ever have all the answers, but I've got the tools that I can find the answers. And the thing is, if I don't have the answers, I look for it. And I'm always optimistic that I will find the answers. I actually recently discovered that oxalates now seem to be bothering me. So I need to figure out what the cause of that is and figure that out. And you'll hear about this in the interview that I did with Julie Matthews, where we talk about special diets. So I've lived it all. Everything that we talk about in the summit, I have lived and experienced, except the medications part of it. And I can really thank my mom for that. Thank you, Mom. I know you're listening, and I'm just thank you for bringing me up to be wary of medications. So I'm no longer anxious. I have not had another panic attack since then. My friend Robin Nielsen, who you're going to hear about in the sleep interview, she says I'm a social butterfly at events. I love getting out and speaking. I'm no longer paralyzed by perfection. And actually, when I was in my computer job, I had an annual review, and one of the things I was marked down for was being a perfectionist. And I was so upset because I thought, well, in a computer job, perfection is important because you can't afford to have any errors. But anyway, they thought I was too much of a perfectionist. I'm no longer a perfectionist. I'm confident, and I would have to admit that I am fearless. And it's a great feeling, it really is, because I remember how terrible that felt. Do I have bad moments? Sure. I have to watch what I eat all the time. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm a mess. And again, Robin's going to talk about sleep. If I don't get downtime and get out in nature, I really, really feel it. Nature totally restores me. Take me to to Lake Tahoe, to the mountains. Take me to Yosemite. Just take me out to the lake down the road, go for a dip in the lake, take a bike ride. Our new thing is to take our windsurfing boards down to the lake. Even though there's no wind, we take our paddles with us and we do a SUP, stand-up paddle, but they're actually on our windsurfing boards. And it's just lovely, lovely, lovely to get out in nature, see the birds flying by, breathing in the fresh air, getting a little bit of sun, taking a dip in the lake. Really, really makes things good. If I don't laugh, that really affects me. I really think I'm addicted to laughter. I seek it out, and you're going to hear more about this in the final call, but there's actually research showing that laughter is beneficial for us and helps our mood. And then I do take supplements, and I wish I could do it all with food, but unfortunately I can't. I've got all these genetic issues going on. I've got this predisposition to all of this, and I need the nutrients to support the beautiful food that I'm eating. So when I first had the anxiety, GABA stopped my anxiety and panic attacks completely. I actually tried theanine initially. I remember that first panic attack, I was just absolutely wiped out. I just conked out, and Brad spent all night on the computer trying to find out what was going on, and he came up with theanine, rushed out and bought me theanine, and it didn't work for me. Theanine is an amino acid, and it just didn't work for me. And Julia talks about how some people do not benefit from theanine, some do. We're all unique. We all have our own unique biochemistry. But GABA stopped the panic attacks and the anxiety. And then tryptophan helped as well, because keep in mind, GABA helps with the physical anxiety, that physical tension where it's in your body. And then tryptophan helps with the worry that's in your head, the ruminating thoughts, and this is for the low serotonin symptoms. And tryptophan ended my perfectionism. It switched off that busy, frantic mind, and it ended that dread, that feeling of dread. And I do need a little boost of tryptophan in the winter when my serotonin takes a little bit of a dip. I know I'm going to be on zinc, vitamin B6, and evening primrose oil indefinitely because of pyroluria, and you'll hear more about that in the talk on pyroluria. And then I take the basics. I take a multivitamin without copper, and you'll hear about copper and zinc also in the pyroluria talk. Vitamin C, a good B complex, an extra pantothenic acid for adrenal support. And then I take some minerals like magnesium. And I've also found that lithium orotate to be helpful for the mood dips and focus issues that actually hit me when I went into menopause. And I'll talk more about lithium orotate in the final call. What the final call is going to be about is things that didn't get covered in all the previous calls, because there were some things that aren't covered. And then I use niacinamide, which is also a B vitamin, and that keeps my HDL nice and high. and it helps my low histamine symptoms. So, and I'll be sharing more about that in the final call as well. And then the final reason for doing this summit is because we need to take anxiety and panic attacks seriously because they place a big stress on the heart. I've seen articles recently saying, don't worry, if you have a panic attack, it may feel like you're going to die, but you're not going to die. And that is not the case. There's studies from 2007 and 2008 that say women who suffer anxiety and panic attacks may have an increased risk of heart disease. And then actually a study that was done late last year, 2013, by the American Heart Association and published in Stroke found that people with the highest third of anxiety symptoms had a 33% higher risk of stroke than those with the lowest level of anxiety. So we really need to take anxiety seriously, take these panic attacks seriously, and do something about it. So let's go through our speakers and topics, and I want to share a few gems from each speaker so you get all excited about the rest of the summit. Before we do that, I just want to give you a little bit of an overview about my practice to just give this some context and show you why I've picked the different topics and the different speakers. So I work one-on-one primarily with anxious women. I work with a few good men. I always say a few good men, but mostly women are seeking me out. And then they help their husbands and they help their kids. I do work with some kids, some younger girls, younger boys. And I'm in California, but I do consulting over the phone. And my main program is a six-week mood program. And I'm going to share with you the 9 steps that go into that program. But as well as the one-on-one work, I do group programs where we spend 6 weeks together in a group, 20 to 40 people, going through the 9 steps I'm going to share with you. We have group training calls. We do live Q&A calls. We have a private Facebook group. And then we have this support. And everyone supports each other, which is beautiful because everyone is encouraging and supporting each other. So whether it's a one-on-one program or a group program, these are the 9 steps that I address when I'm working with someone. And it may be different for different people. But the first thing is to eat real whole food. And this includes grass-fed red meat. And there are 4 different food solutions that I cover with my clients, and I'll share that in the final call as well so you can see what the 4 food solutions are. The second step is quitting sugar and how to quit sugar so you don't have to use willpower, and we talk a little bit about that in Margaret's call, Margaret in the call on sugar, and then also in Hyla Cass's call on addiction. And then we talk a little bit about it in Julia Ross's call as well. And then we want to control blood sugar. So part and parcel of the quitting sugar is controlling blood sugar, because if we've got these ups and downs, we're going to feel more anxious. Then the next step is getting rid of caffeine, because caffeine definitely causes anxiety in a large number of people. And then importance of optimal digestion, probiotics, enzymes, eating slowly, chewing your food, eating foods that promote healthy digestion. All of that's really important. And then the other one is looking at gluten, the bad mood effects of gluten. The next step is how to balance brain chemistry with individual amino acids to improve mood. And this we covered 2 of the amino acids in the call with Julia Ross. And then we talked a little bit about glutamine in the call with Hyla Cass and some of the other amino acids. And then the next step is addressing the social anxiety or the pyroluria. And then we want to look at other nutrients like low vitamin D, hormonal health, adrenal health, the effects of medications. A lot of medications can actually cause side effects. They can deplete us of nutrients. So these are all things that we need to look at. And then the final step in the 9 steps are lifestyle changes that include sleep, exercise, and yoga. So I wanted to make sure we addressed all of those areas so you could get additional information on those areas. And I wanted to do this preview introductory call because I didn't actually interview the speakers in the order that you're hearing them present. And when I was doing some of the interviews, I hadn't interviewed some of the other people. So I wanted to do this so I could tie it all back. And I also want to do this call so you get this nice feeling of anticipation. Oh, I really want to listen to that. So in case you're wondering about the speaker sequence, it's the way it is. So we could focus on food first, which is the way my program works, the way I've laid it out in my book, The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, and then the nutrients. And this is not to say that the nutrients aren't powerful. We know how powerful the amino acids are and some of the other nutrients like zinc and vitamin B6. But because I'm a nutritionist, it has to be food first. And I'm all about food first with my clients. You've got to get back to basics. You've got to eat like our grannies and grandpas did, or maybe our great grannies and great grandpas if they weren't eating so well. But I do use the amino acids on day one, and you'll hear me share that in the call that I do with Julia Ross, because we get results right away and people feel hopeful. And if you are someone who cannot do what Margaret says and just give up the sugar and all the carbs and the starches, and a lot of people can do that, but if you can't just do it with willpower alone, then you will need the amino acids, and because that sugar and that gluten can be very addicting. And all the topics are important. All the speakers have amazing information, but one factor, one topic may be more important for you than the next person, and you're going to see how they're all so interrelated. If you have thyroid issues, this needs to be addressed for the amino acids to be effective. If you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, you have to quit gluten. And you may need the amino acids to quit because the gluten's addicting. Additives are toxic, and gluten and sugar have this toxic component because of Roundup. And you'll hear about a wheat and sugar being sprayed with Roundup or glyphosate in Dr. Stephanie Seneff's interview, which is very, very interesting and very, very scary. We know that sugar stresses the adrenals, and you have to be getting enough sleep. We know that dietary changes make therapy more effective, and some healthy foods like leafy greens may not be okay if you have an issue with oxalates. These are all what you're going to hear in the interviews that I have done. You're going to hear how benzodiazepines can actually make your anxiety worse. And if you didn't have anxiety to start with, it could actually cause anxiety. So say, for example, you were prescribed benzodiazepines to sleep, you may find that suddenly you have these anxiety symptoms. And then I've mentioned pyroluria a number of times, but the nutrients that help with pyroluria, zinc and vitamin B6, also help with the social anxiety, hormonal health, women's hormonal health, anyone with perimenopausal symptoms or PMS, those nutrients are just absolutely key. And they also help to make GABA and tryptophan. And there are two keys as you listen to these interviews. Food quality is key, and you'll hear that in a lot of detail in Margaret Floyd's presentation, where she talks about grass-fed, pastured chickens, pastured eggs, wild fish, organic fruits and vegetables. So quality is really, really important. And then the second is biochemical individuality, or as Julie Matthews says, bio-individuality. We've all got our own unique biochemistry, and there's no one-size-fits-all. So you need to figure out what you need to do to fix whatever the problem is. So let's review gems from each of the amazing speakers. So on the first day, other than this introductory call, we've got Dr. Kelly Brogan. She's a holistic women's health psychiatrist, and the topic of her presentation is Misunderstood and Mistreated, Reinventing Psychiatry. And this is what she says. There is never a realm in health where you have more opportunity to turn things around through these lifestyle changes than in mental health. I just love that she no longer writes prescriptions for SSRIs. She only writes benzodiazepine prescriptions when it's acute postpartum or psychosis. She focuses on the gut and inflammation. She advocates for animal protein and talks about eating healthy fats. Isn't that so wonderful? The interesting thing is she's not a fan of low serotonin, the low serotonin theory of depression and anxiety. And we had a rather interesting discussion around the topic, and we respectfully disagree with each other. And surprisingly enough, this is the only real difference of opinion in the whole summit. I had decided that I wanted to air Dr. Brogan's interview on day one, and I could have moved it to a later date because of this difference of opinion that we had. But I think healthy debate is a good thing. So hopefully we can convince Dr. Brogan that serotonin is a factor when it comes to anxiety and depression. But also, I would like to learn more about why she feels low serotonin doesn't play a role. So listen, and then listen to some of the other interviews, because you're going to hear Julia Ross, Dr. Hala Kass, and Dr. Josh Friedman discuss this topic further as to how effective tryptophan and 5-HTP is with their clients. And you'll hear powerful stories from some of my clients who talk about using these nutrients. Then the next speaker is Dr. Felice Jacka. She's Principal Research Fellow at Deakin University in Melbourne, Australia. And her topic is the research, Food for the Treatment and Prevention of Anxiety and Depression, ? And her simple statement is very profound. Diet matters to mental health. Beautiful. And then in the study that she did for her PhD in 2010, she said that in women, the strongest correlate of mental health was red meat intake. And this, of course, was grass-fed red meat. And we had quite a big discussion around that, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy that part of it. And the great thing is that she is heading up the very first randomized controlled trial that is looking at diet as a therapeutic target in depression. And in the interview, we share how you can participate. You have to live in Melbourne, Australia, but it's very, very exciting that this study is happening and we get to hear about it on the summit. The next person is Esther Blum. She's an integrative dietitian and best-selling author of Cave Women Don't Get Fat. And the topic of our talk was how to live gorgeously and rock your inner cave girl. And did you hear that? She's an integrative dietitian. How cool is that? And what she said is no one should be eating gluten, and she talks about how to find your own unique carb balance, and she's got a really cool tip that I had not heard about on what you need to double up on in that second half of your cycle. And no, it's not chocolate, but I wish I'd known about that when I was having all my terrible, terrible PMS symptoms. So tune in to hear what that is and everything else about Esther Blum's interview. Then I interviewed Julie Matthews. She's a certified nutrition consultant and author of award-winning book, Nourishing Hope for Autism. And our topic was bio-individual nutrition for anxiety, how special diets and avoiding certain foods can support individuals with anxiety. And what she said is the brain is not this isolated island all by itself. It's connected to the body, and all the biochemical imbalances in the body affect what's going on in the brain. And we had a really, very interesting discussion about oxalates, salicylates, and other special diets and how they can affect your anxiety. Then I had the great pleasure of interviewing Mira Desi, certified nutrition educator, real food advocate, and author of The Pantry Principle. And our topic was how additives in your food can make you anxious. And one of Mira's favorite quotes is, it's not just what you eat, it's what's in what you eat. Let me say that again. It's not just what you eat, it's what's in what you eat. So you need to read those labels and see what's in those products. And one of the additives that we talked about was sodium benzoate and how it can lead to ADD, ADHD, antisocial behaviors, and increased anxiety. The next interview was Amanda Swart, Associate Professor, Department of Biochemistry, Stellenbosch University, South Africa. And our talk is Rooibos, a Functional Food in the Management of Stress. And Amanda is a fellow South African who's doing amazing research on rooibos and stress. And this is pronounced rooibos or redbush, not rooibos tea. And we start with a funny lesson on how not to pronounce it and how to pronounce it. And then we take a deep dive into the research. And it was very geeky, research-based discussion, but fascinating. And she suggested that I steep my rooibos tea for at least 10 minutes to make it more effective, to get all the polyphenols and all the health benefits. And I'm now doing that. So enjoy your rooibos tea. And then I interview Dr. Stephanie Senep, Senior Research Scientist at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab. And the topic is how aluminum and glyphosate or Roundup collaborate to cause anxiety, depression, autism, and celiac disease. And she says, I think Roundup is particularly bad, mainly because it's viewed as being so harmless. And we talked about how serotonin depends upon tryptophan, which is a product of the pathway that Roundup disrupts. And we talked all about how Roundup is sprayed on wheat and sugar just before the harvest. So we are getting exposed to it that way. And I actually blogged about it just before the summit, and someone commented on the blog saying, I truly cannot say that I had thought about Roundup as being a problem, but it makes perfect sense. When our Cocker Spaniel died of cancer at age 6, two different vet schools laid the blame on lawn chemicals as the cause of his lymphoma. So a lot of people are not aware of it. When I post on Facebook and ask people if they're using Roundup, people are using it. They've got no idea as to how harmful it is. Then I interview Margaret Floyd, nutritional therapist, writer, real food advocate, and author of Eat Naked. And our topic, comfort food or sweet misery, how sugar controls your mood and how to get it out of your diet. And what she said is a little sugary treat puts your body into an emergency, and I totally agree. She's very strict about sugar, and so am I. I don't think we should be consuming any sugar. And we even agreed that natural sweeteners are still sugar and not good for us. And then I interviewed Julia Ross, MFT, pioneer in the field of neuronutrient therapy and author of the bestsellers The Mood Cure and The Diet Cure. And our topic, eliminating anxiety, amino acid therapy, and adrenal balancing. And this is the quote that you heard earlier. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is not an unrealistic goal when it comes to anxiety. It really is the human potential, and GABA and tryptophan gives us access to it. And she also says that amino acids are really our only hope of quickly reversing the epidemics, not only of anxiety, but of depression, compulsive eating, and obesity. Then I interview Dr. Hyla Kass, board certified in psychiatry, integrative medicine, and the author of Natural Highs and the Addicted Brain and How to Break Free. And what she shared is how low serotonin leads to this increase in appetite, this addictive behavior, really craving carbs, sugary foods, feeling depressed, feeling anxious, feeling irritable. And the kind of anxiety, remember, that you have with low serotonin is the all in the head, the ruminating thoughts, and then having this trouble sleeping. And I love this is something that she said. When someone has anxiety, it's not a Valium or Xanax deficiency, but it could be a GABA deficiency. Very nice. Then Dr. Josh Friedman, PsyD, integrative psychotherapist, and the talk title, Integrative Psychotherapy, My Journey from Psychoanalysis to Whole Person Mental Health. And this was a great interview. He actually just shared on Facebook how Julia Ross's book, The Mood Cure, is what began his journey into nutritional medicine for mental health. He said, I've been using the amino acids in my psychology practice for the last 10 years, and they have dramatically improved my outcome with patients. And I really wanted to bring Josh Friedman to the table because I think it's important to hear that therapists are, you know, integrating some of this nutrition into their practice. And then the next interview is by yours truly, and it is on pyroluria, how zinc and vitamin B6 prevent pyroluria and social anxiety. And I talk about how pyroluria is more common than we realize and how it has these big overlaps with social anxiety and, believe it or not, introversion. A lot of people don't think about that. And I'm going to share with you some insights on this connection between social anxiety and introversion and how I think introversion is not so much a personality thing as a biochemical deficiency. And Carl Pfeiffer did the initial research while working with schizophrenic patients. And he found that these few key nutrients reduced and often completely eliminated symptoms. And I see amazing results with my clients with pyroluria symptoms. And then Dr. Annika Becker, gynecologist and obstetrician, co-creator of Sexy Younger You, We talked about the role of our hormones and neurotransmitters in anxiety. And we actually started with a discussion on Zonulin and Dr. Fasano's new book called Gluten Freedom, which I'm dying to read. He's one of the top gluten researchers. And she actually got to sit down and chat with him at a recent event, and it was very interesting. So we talk about that initially. And then, of course, we talked about progesterone, her mighty maca greens. And this is her little quote, which I think is very fun. We want to die young at an old age. Yes to that. Then in the second week, you'll hear Dr. Amy Day, naturopath. She's a specialist in stress, fatigue, and women's hormonal issues. And we talked about adrenal health for more energy, less anxiety, and balanced hormones. And this is what she said. We're not talking about trying to live a stress-free life. We want to live a life where we can manage our stress. And when you're running high on cortisol, you are going to experience anxiety symptoms. And then this fact is very important. If you take care of your adrenals, you're going to have a better perimenopause and better menopause. And you could see that that was a problem with me. So taking care of your adrenals is very important. Then we have Dr. Isabella Wentz. She's a pharmacist, and she is the author of Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, and our topic was Hashimoto's Thyroiditis and anxiety, of course. And what she said is when the thyroid is attacked by the immune system in Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, what we have is this breakdown of thyroid tissue, and then we have all these thyroid hormones that are rushed into the bloodstream. And it looks like an overactive thyroid. She called it a transient overactive thyroid. And we get anxiety symptoms. So we really need to know we do have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and we talked all about the testing and things to consider if you are diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. The next interview, Corey Schuler, board-certified nutrition specialist, chiropractic physician, and his topic, roots, leaves, and vitamin Bs for anxiety. And we talked about one of my favorite herbs, lavender, and how there's actually now research that supports oral use for anxiety. So taking lavender as a supplement. I've always loved lavender as an essential oil. And now there's research showing that it can serve as a natural alternative to Paxil. And you're going to learn more about maca for hormonal balance in women. And he's got some wonderful, wonderful tips for stress reduction. Then the interview with Colleen Walsh. She's a functional nutritionist, master nutrition therapist, and has been dubbed the methyl queen. And the talk title was, Are Your Genes Depressing You? MTHFR and Your Mood. And here are two quotes from our interview. MTHFR SNPs can affect the BH4 cycle, which is crucial for our neurotransmitter production. And we go all into where the BH4 cycle fits in the whole methylation process. Very, very well explained. It's a tough topic. It's tricky with lots of funky terminology, but she did an amazing job explaining it. And then what she said is, which is what I said earlier, that our DNA is not set in stone. Diet and lifestyle can go a long way to change a health destiny. And I can certainly attest to this, and so can many of my clients. And then we have Dr. Catherine Pittman. She's a clinical psychologist, psychology professor, and she's co-author of Extinguishing Anxiety. And the title of our talk, Benzodiazepines in the Treatment of Anxiety, Weighing Risks and Benefits. And she shared how these benzos can cause the psychological dependence in 4 to 6 weeks. And she did a fabulous survey with the Benzo Buddies support group and shared the terrible problems that they have quitting the benzos. And I actually heard her present this talk at the ADAA, Anxiety and Depression Association, in 2012, and really, really wanted to share this with you, and contacted her and said, please, would you come and speak on the summit? And it's very, very eye-opening. It has not been published yet, but she's in the process of getting it published. So this is cutting-edge information and something really important to know about. So you can help your clients, or if you're taking benzodiazepines, you can know that there is a process that you need to go through to get off them. You've obviously got to work with your doctor, but that there is the support group out there and that there are protocols to make it easy, because it is very, very difficult to get off. And then Dr. Nicole Birkins, licensed psychologist, certified brain injury specialist, and her talk title, Nutrition as a Foundation for Other Therapies. And she shared how many parents aren't even aware that food can affect their kids. I mentioned that earlier. And how we really need to keep our minds open to the idea that what you eat can impact how your brain works. And I just love how she is a trailblazer in this field, because she hasn't always incorporated diet and nutrients in her clinic, but she wasn't getting the results that she was hoping for, so she started looking elsewhere and started to incorporate diet and nutrition, and has seen amazing results with the patients that go into the clinic. Then we have Krista Arecchio, clinical and holistic nutritionist and co-host of the nationally syndicated health talk show, The Randy and Krista Show, and her topic, preventing and quelling postpartum anxiety. And it was quite interesting because she had anxiety herself. A lot of us have anxiety, as you can tell. And she was actually visiting South Africa. She heard Patrick Holford speak. He's an amazing nutritionist from the UK. And was so blown away by what she heard that she changed her studies from peace studies to nutrition. And in our talk, we talked about placental encapsulation and then all the beautiful nutrient-dense foods to consume during pregnancy. Then Dr. James Greenblatt, and he is a pioneer in the field of integrative medicine, and he's the author of The Breakthrough Depression Solution, and our title is Integrative Therapies for the Treatment of OCD and Anxiety. And he shared that we can develop anxiety and depression and even OCD-like symptoms if we have a food intolerance to dairy and wheat. And he talked about how we can test for these opiate peptides. And he talked about a very interesting topic that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, and this was Clostridia and how it can secrete this compound called HPHPA, which can be measured in a urine test. And how this, when you've got high levels of HPHPA, it can actually disrupt dopamine levels and thereby cause anxiety. So it's another little clue that you may need to look into if some of these other things that you're hearing about, like eating real whole food, having breakfast, making sure your digestion's good, getting off gluten, getting off the coffee, if you're doing all the basic stuff, trying out the amino acids, adding in the zinc and the B6, and you're still not getting answers, then you need to dig a little bit deeper. And as I said earlier, there's always an answer out there. It's just a matter of finding it. Then Robin Nielsen, certified nutrition consultant, a really good friend of mine as well. You'll hear a lot of the people are colleagues and good friends as well that I've known over the years and met at various conferences. She's the co-creator of Sexy Younger You, and our talk is Sleep Your Way to Better Moods. And Robin's so funny. She started out by saying that sleep is not a very sexy topic. But then she really ends with a very sexy bombshell about oxytocin. And really, it left me speechless. You'll hear in the interview, I was just speechless when she said it. So I'm not going to share with you. You have to listen to the interview to hear it. But we did cover all the causes of insomnia, and there are a lot of them. And it was a great interview. And then we have a surprise guest to talk about gluten and the gut, and we will be announcing that during the summit. And then last but not least, I've got many client success stories, and I've actually got three clients, Elizabeth, Mimi, and Carolyn, who very graciously agreed to be interviewed, and you're going to hear them share some of the stuff that's worked for them to end anxiety, emotional eating, sleep problems, and even panic attacks. And I will do the final wrap-up call where I'm going to cover things that didn't get addressed. And I'm going to talk about fish, histamine imbalances, laughter. I'm going to talk about chocolate. I'm sure you want to hear about chocolate because no one's really talked about chocolate. And I'm also going to talk about coffee, which is a big problem for a lot of people because it causes anxiety and a lot of people don't want to give up coffee. So I'm going to talk about that so you know all the facts about coffee. So that's it for our amazing lineup of speakers. A little bit of housekeeping information here. You will hear two amazing interviews per day for a 24-hour window from 9 in the morning till 8:59 the next day, and that's 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in the U.S. And I'd love to see your feedback and your questions on the speaker interview page. I'm encouraging you to download the amazing gifts that the speakers have generously given. You're going to see examples of a two-hour interview on oxalates from Julie Matthews, a great article on urinary neurotransmitter testing and why it's not a good thing from Julia Ross, a book chapter and recipes from Isabella Wentz, and many, many more. So be sure to check out the gifts that each speaker is making available to you. And I am creating extra blog posts for many of the speakers, and in those blogs I'll have links to some of the studies that we've talked about, additional resources, and this will all be on my blog, everywomanover29.com/blog. But you'll see the link on the speaker page, and if you read it and you like what you're reading and you'd like to share it, I appreciate that. If you want to comment and ask questions, please do so. I'm going to be actively engaging on the blog and on social media, and I'll be there to answer questions you have and get feedback from you. So please be vocal. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to hear what you want to know, and I want to help as much as I can. And you can find me on Facebook at Trudy Scott Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. You can find me on Twitter at @ampersandfoodmoodexpert, and I'm on Google Plus and Pinterest as Trudy Scott. And now I do need to quickly read this disclaimer because it's really important. The information provided in the Anxiety Summit via the interviews, the blog posts, the website, the audio files, the transcripts, the comments, and all other means is for informational and educational purposes only. It's not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional. You should consult with a healthcare professional before starting any diet, exercise, or supplementation program, before taking or stopping any medication, or if you have or suspect you may have a health problem. And then a few other things I will be mentioning events and organizations and additional resources in the final call, but I've got two that I want to announce now because they are starting during the Anxiety Summit. The first one is Mind International, MINDD. It's an event in Sydney, Australia, June the 14th to the 15th. And the topic is brain health for mental health, concentration and IQ, nutritional and integrative treatments for children and adults. And it's MINDD.org. And I will have a blog post for this call, and I will share that on there together with the other articles and research that I mentioned. And then the other one is another online summit, believe it or not, also on anxiety. It's called BeatAnxietyNowSummit.com. It begins June the 16th. And I just came across it about a week before my summit was to launch. And I reached out to the founder, Catherine Johnston, and we agreed to share each other's summits. So check it out. The focus seems to be more on therapy and behavioral approaches, but it's really great that there is another summit on anxiety because obviously it's a very needed topic. And then just a few final words. I really want you to remember this. Don't tolerate how you feel. You deserve to feel your absolute best, and you can and should feel on top of the world always. And I want to reiterate what I said earlier, that you can completely eliminate your anxiety symptoms, and don't give up hope. And just keep looking for answers until you have zero anxiety. Enjoy the Anxiety Summit. This is Trudy Scott signing off from the introductory call.